The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Hi, welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth. We're glad that you're joining us this hour, and I'm pleased to have Lori Pune with me, and I hope she's on the other end of the line. Hello, Lori.
Hello.
Okay, she's there. And we're fortunate to have her today because she's going to be talking about, and we're going to be discussing her book, Instant Persuasion. And I'll give a little background about Lori. Lori has her BA from Harvard. She also has her law degree from Harvard. So she's a lawyer. She's a professional mediator. She's president of the Lori Pune Institute. And she's also served on the board of Harvard's mediation program and taught mediation program skills or mediation skills to Harvard Law School students. You'll see she's a dynamic speaker, highly sought after, and has been on radio all over the country of late talking about her book. And we'll talk about her book and how you can get it later on. But I want to welcome you, Lori, and just open it up and ask you the first thing. What is instant persuasion in a nutshell?
Well, instant persuasion is about using moments, opportunities in everyday conversations to win people over, reduce conflict, earn trust, respect, so that you have people on your side. The reason why it's instant is because I realized as a lawyer and a mediator is that persuasion is actually happening all the time. Every time you speak to someone, you're persuading that person to like or dislike you, listen to or ignore you, respect or disrespect you, and cooperate or argue with you. And that's why those moments count. And persuasion is happening all the time. When we raise our awareness of the power of our words, we can become masters of the power of persuasion every single day.
Now, is this just about words, though? Because I always think about, you know, the first impression is what someone sees or the actions that you take. Is that part of the things that you're talking about? Or you're talking really about how to use your words for impact and power? Is there something you take beyond that?
Well, I focus on words because it's the one thing we have 100% control over. I mean, you can probably remember some time where you walked away from a conversation and thought, I wish I didn't put my foot in my mouth like that, you know, or I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I do that every day.
No. You're perfect, right?
Yeah. Now change.
You know, how many times do you walk away from a conversation and think, I shouldn't have moved my arm that way? That was bad body language, you know, or I shouldn't have had that tone. You know, it's a lot harder to detect those kinds of things, and so it's harder to change them. Instant persuasion are about objective words. Comments you want to avoid, blunders that turn people off to you, and communication wonders you want to use. You know, we often think that we don't have control over what people think of us, but our words are in our control, and through our words, we're constantly influencing what people think of us.
You make it sound so simple.
It is that simple.
Okay.
It really is that simple. It's a matter of, you know, I have a number of rules in the book, and I'll just share one to briefly explain that. You know, when you give someone advice and somebody tells you a problem and then you're thinking, I got a great idea for her, and you help her out and you share the advice and suddenly she says, how do you know what you're talking about? What makes you the expert? And suddenly she turns on you and you were just trying to be helpful. The reason that happened is because you made a communication blunder. You shared your advice even though she didn't ask you for it. And so you want to hold your tongue. You don't want to give advice unless the person requests it. But there is a way to persuade someone to want your advice. It's a simple comment, a smart comment. And that's why my website is smartcomments.com. Here's the comment. You ask the person, would you like my opinion? It's so basic. But when you ask that question, if the person says yes, their guard is down. She's ready to listen to what you have to
say. They've invited you in, is what you're saying.
Yeah, she's
invited. You haven't intruded.
And that invitation in is communicating something. It communicates respect. Every human being wants to be respected. And so when you give the other person the decision-making power over whether or not you will share your opinion, you are showing respect for that person. And so once you do that, that person is more willing to listen to what you have to say. And if she says, no, I don't want your opinion, well, then you know to keep it to yourself, and you've avoided an argument.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lori, when did you get the idea for this book? I mean, was it while you were undergrad at Harvard, or when did it come about? I'm just curious, because you're a young professional woman, so, I mean, it hasn't been years and years and years of practicing law, so, and I know,
right.
I think it was early on in your education.
Well, you know, I've always had an interest in communication, and I grew up in Long Island and was very aware of any racial or religious tension in the area. And when I was in high school, there were racial incidents in some areas. And I responded by thinking, somebody needs to do something. And I thought, well, I am somebody. I'm going to do something. And I created a young adult division of the American Ethnic Coalition at the time to bring together high school students of different backgrounds to have tolerance workshops. And so I started to learn about communication and the power of words then, and led workshops and created essay contests based on this. Then I went to Harvard, and then it sort of came full circle when I went to Harvard Law School and studied mediation, which is skills to help people resolve disputes outside of the courtroom. Now, people have a lot of financial disputes, and you may be familiar with people who've gone to mediation on these issues. A lot of times it's about the relationship between the two people that's causing the problem. And what I noticed was that people, sometimes settlement discussion would be going along fine. It looked like we were going to settle. And all of a sudden the plaintiff would say something like, you know, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. And the whole thing would spiral out of control. What I realized is that I was seeing the same thing I saw when I was 16 years old dealing with prejudice reduction.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about communicating respect, appreciation, and showing the other person that you value him or her. That when you could communicate in a way that shows those values, you win people over. You create friends. You create allies. It was the same principle, and that's when it sort of became an epiphany for me that there was something really valuable here, and if I could, you know, study it a little longer and share it in a book with people so they could read about sort of everyday real life experiences between husbands and wives and friends and a boss and coworkers and all of that, you know, we could apply these skills and these principles to our daily lives. And that's where it came from.
You know, everybody wants to write a book. No one gets to it. I've finished a book. And it's supposed to be out on the bookshelves July 7th, I believe, now.
Congratulations.
Well, we'll see. It might stay on the bookshelf, so we have to see what happens. I hope it has as much success as yours. But everybody wants to write one. I mean, just give us an idea of, at that point, you're in Harvard Business School. I mean, did you start taking notes? Did you start putting it together? What did you do, just mechanically?
Okay. Well, I was at Harvard Law School at the time, and so I was coming up with these ideas. And I thought, you know, I think I could really do something here. And I'm the kind of person who always thinks, why not? Why not me? Why shouldn't I? And my mother's the same way. So I talked to my mom about this, and she's like, sure, Lori, you can do it. So I got busy, and I treated it like a business venture, like any other business venture person would have. I went to the bookstore, I went to the library, I researched. I learned about literary agents. I learned about how to write a book. I mean, I read books and books on how to write, publicize, and market a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied this very hard, like I was taking a course, you know, and put together a book proposal, put together a query letter that went out to literary agents. I didn't have any connections. I didn't have any connections. I didn't have a famous last name. You know, P-U-H-N. Is very different from G-O-R-E, Kristen Gore, who graduated in the same year as me from Harvard College. And she had it a little easier. But that's okay because the hard work only meant that the material I was presenting was going to be stronger. And I would tweak it and improve it. And it worked. I mean, the literary agents who I talked to and requested to see my proposal were very impressed by it. I signed with a terrific top-notch agent in New York, Elaine Koster, and then she brought my book to publishers, and it sold at auction to Penguin. I mean, it really was extraordinary, and part of what made it work is obviously hard work. But I used my own instant persuasion skills, and I had support from people who were willing to give me comments, including my former Harvard Law professor, Alan Dershowitz. And I had used my rule, earn your favors, of always staying in touch with people and calling them when I didn't need anything. So I would see Professor Dershowitz when I was in Boston, and I would come to listen to his lectures in New York, and I maintained contact with him. And then when I needed a favor, and I went to ask him to review my book and read it, he said, sure, Lori, I'll help you any way I can. And that's because we had a real sincere personal connection, because I had earned my favor. And he's just one of the many people who've been helpful to me.
So in other words, the book actually works, because you used all the techniques in order to promote the book and make it successful.
I absolutely did. I mean, I stay in touch with people, and I'm happy to say that it's really because other people also wanted to see me succeed that I was able to do. I couldn't do it alone. You know, I've had tremendous support from Father Tom Hartman.
Mm-hmm. I know him well.
Most people do, and he's extraordinary. I met him when I was 16 years old, and we traveled to Israel together through Project Understanding. It was six Catholic and six Jewish students, rabbi and a priest, and that's when I met him. And I have stayed in touch with him over all these years because I know he's an extraordinary person. I'm so impressed by him and his ability to communicate values through the media outlets. To me, that was he was a role model, an example, and that implanted in my idea, the notion that, well, I could be a part of the media, I could be a part of book writing, publishing, radio, television, and use it as a vehicle to communicate values. And he was an inspiration to me in that way. And then when I was ready to come out with this book, he had me on his television show on the God Squad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he offered me insight and support and encouragement, the kinds of intangible things that are critical to success. And I have that because I use my communication rule, show you care. And this rule is something everybody can start doing today. Whenever someone tells you about something important to them, you want to use it as an opportunity to follow up. For instance, let's say you have a friend who, actually I'll give you a business example since many of your listeners are in business. Let's say Steve has a client and, well, you know what? How about I'll tell you an example after the break?
Okay.
And everybody can learn this critical rule for success.
Well, we've got 35 rules here, and I'm going to ask you, are these, you know, we're going to go through some of them, and I think it'll be terrific. So stay tuned. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth and Lori Kuhn. Thank you.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Join Jane Curry and Diana Young every Monday at 8 a.m. for The Last Word. When you listen to The Last Word, you won't feel as though you're getting a root canal without anesthetic. And you'll leave every show with tips about how to write, so you can get more promotions, make more money, and go home early. Learn how to add persuasive power to everything you write, from email to sales proposals, and get the praise and respect you deserve. So tune in and call in to The Last Word with Jane Curry and Diana Young every Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific. right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Welcome back, and I'm here with attorney, consultant, and author Lori Pune, who's finished the book Instant Persuasion, and we've been chatting about how she got started in her career as an author. Well, we wanted to talk right after the break here about some of the rules. She's got in her book 35 rules that you can utilize right off the bat, and before we took our break, she was talking about one which she calls Show You Care. Lori, pick up from where you left off, if you would, and tell us how that works and how it's worked in your particular situation as you launched your book.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you an example, and let's see if you can figure out where the communication blunder is.
Is this a test for me?
This is a test.
Okay.
Okay. So Steve has a client, and the client says, you know, I want to know the answer to this question, find out if I can make this investment. You know, I want to know. And Steve says, well, you know, I need to check on it for you, so let me look into it and I'll get back to you tomorrow. And the client says, oh, no, don't call me tomorrow. I have to drop my daughter off at college, so, you know, wait until next Monday. Give me a call then. Steve says, okay, no problem. They hang up the phone. Steve is very responsible. He writes it down in his date book to call this client Monday. Monday comes. He calls the client. Tells him good news. I found out this investment's going to work out. It's available. We can do it on the spot. We can do it right now. No problem. The client is happy. Everything is terrific. They make the deal. They hang up the phone. Beautiful, right?
Yep.
There was a huge communication blunder.
Yeah. In my opinion, he forgot to ask whether he'd crashed his on his way to drop his daughter off at college or something.
That's right. You're very close.
Okay.
He forgot to ask, how was the trip to drop your daughter off at college?
Yeah.
That was the personal information shared by the client. And is when Steve knew it was important to write down in the date book to call this client on Monday to give him an answer to the question, it was just as important to write down in the date book, ask about dropping his daughter off to college. It's a communication blunder to ignore personal information. And the opposite is it's a communication wonder to listen for it and make it a habit to ask about it afterward. Now, it might be at work where somebody has a situation like this. It could be that you have a friend who's been feeling really ill and tells you she's going to the doctor. You want to make a note of the date of that doctor's appointment and call that person the day after to say, how did it go? You know, or someone goes on vacation, or somebody's son is getting married. Whatever it is, anytime someone shares personal information, whether you're at work or at home, it's an opportunity to show you care by following up afterward. It creates an instant connection, an instant ally, and lets the other person know that you really value him. They're not just a means to an end transaction.
So it's not enough then just to deliver when you say. I mean, worse than that, it would be, I'm going to call you on Monday, and you never get around to it, right?
That is
so
exactly right.
At least you want to say what or do what you say you're going to do.
That's right.
But
that's,
you're saying to pick up on the cues that go beyond and show that you really do care about it.
That's right. And today, tomorrow, you'll hear somebody tell you some personal piece of information. That's your cue. That's what I call an instant persuasion moment right then and there to either ignore it or make a note to yourself to ask about it afterward.
Now, somebody's probably listening in and saying, Lori, does it really make that much difference?
Well, I'll tell you how it makes that much difference.
Okay.
Let's say that you haven't been feeling well, and you tell your friend, I've been feeling so sick, I don't know what's wrong, I'm going to the doctor on Friday. Friday comes, you go to the doctor, you feel fine. Everything works out. The doctor says you're feeling better, great. Doctor says you're healthy, terrific, no problem. You come home next day, you don't hear from your friend. Sunday comes and goes. Monday comes and goes. Tuesday comes and goes. Finally, on Wednesday, your friend calls, and you think this friend is calling to find out how you're feeling. This friend says, do you want to go for dinner Thursday night? And you think, how self-centered.
Right.
My friend didn't even remember that I was feeling sick all last week. She didn't know I was getting better. She didn't know that, and she didn't even care to find out if I was feeling any better. Now, what does that tell you about this person? It tells you they're preoccupied with themselves. That's instant persuasion in a negative way. That person, by not asking how you were feeling, lets you know in that moment that he or she doesn't care about you. They care about going to dinner Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Now, let me just – I'm going to play devil's advocate for a little bit. Let's say you really don't care. I mean, if you do this,
mm-hmm.
after a while, does it really help to turn the way around your thinking? In other words, does it help to get in the habit?
Well,
doing these things habitually, and then all of a sudden I may find out that it's not so bad. Maybe I really can care, or maybe I do care.
Right.
Or is it just we're trying to manipulate by being somebody who we're not? I don't know.
Well, no, that's a fair question. If you don't care about the person and you don't care about maintaining your relationship with this person and you don't care about having people help you when you need help, then
go
ahead. Then don't read my book.
Okay.
And you'll be isolated, and unfortunately you'll also find yourself having less fulfillment and less financial and social success in your life. On the other hand, if you know what you want in life, you want to feel fulfilled, you want career advancement, you want lasting friendships, you want favors, you want invitations, you want people to like you, you want people to respect you. If you want those things, then you need to use these rules.
And you need to get your book. I'll put a plug in for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Instant persuasion. But thing is, the first time you do it, it may feel manipulative because you know you have an ulterior purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it's not manipulative because you're actually making the person feel good. That's not manipulative. You know, manipulation is about coercion, force, you know, pressure. And when you do that to someone, they'll help you or they'll be there for you once. But once they discover your true intention, they're gone. I mean, you don't have that person in your life anymore.
The other thing I think that happens, though, is if you do that and you make the connection, in fact, I think you'll feel better and it reinforces it yourself.
It does, because you'll get it.
And then you're going to find that it happens to be something that you can learn, and it's a behavior that will be reinforced for us, and it works both ways. I think it helps on both sides.
It does. And you see that smile, that instant smile from the other person that lets you know that they feel like they're suddenly connected to you.
I want to turn to a rule. You just reminded me of something. You have a rule in there, and the rule is punch with a smile. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That's about how to give criticism. Now, we all give criticism, whether it's, you know, to our spouse or children or colleagues. You know, it's a necessary part of life. But there's a right way and a wrong way to give criticism. For instance, if a boss calls an employee into the office and says to the employee, Section 2 of your report is confusing. I didn't understand the idea. You know, you need to revise this, add more detail, and hand it in again tomorrow. Well, in that instance, the employee walks out of the room and thinks to himself, I'm not spending another minute on this report. My boss doesn't notice anything good that I do. It's not worth my time. Now, if the boss just made a small change in words and said, instead, Section 1 of your report is very good. Now, you had a very interesting idea. I think we can use this. Good work. But Section 2 was confusing. Can you please revise this, add more detail, and hand it in again tomorrow? Well, now the employee walks out of the room and thinks, oh, my boss is fair and balanced. He's trying to be helpful, not hurtful. It is worth my time to make an improvement. So the difference here is in the first example, the boss made a communication blunder of focusing only on what was wrong with the situation In the second time around, the boss used a communication wonder. First he gave a compliment, then a criticism. That is a skill we all want to use anytime we're about to give criticism. It's our reminder of the instant persuasion moment. You can either walk down the wrong path and go straight for the criticism, or walk down the right path and give a compliment first. There's always something positive to notice. It's just that it's with human nature on our radar screens, always the negative things pop up first. And that's why it has to be a conscious habit in the beginning, and then it becomes automatic.
I've walked down that wrong path many times.
And what happens?
I get punched. Instead of getting a smile, I got a punch, so there.
Right, because the purpose of giving criticism is to motivate someone to change for the better.
Right.
I mean, there's motivation. We can't make them do anything, right? Because, again, the force, coercion, that isn't going to work long run. You have to motivate. And so the motivation comes from the person having respect for your opinion. And they respect your opinion when they know that you also pay attention to the good things, that you're not just out to get them, right?
And well, I think that's our job, is to try and help upgrade people, not grade them, but upgrade them.
That's a really good comment. That's true.
You've got another one, Lori, here. You're talking about, I forget the exact phrase, but I think it's called the two-part apology. Is it enough to say I'm sorry, but how does that work? Explain that before we take our next break, if you would. I think it's interesting.
Sure. Well, we've all been in a situation where someone has apologized to us. And maybe this person said, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I'm sorry. And you think, you know what? I know that you're trying to apologize to me, but there's something insincere about that. Mm-hmm. You know, are you just trying to end the discussion? And so a hasty I'm sorry, those two words, is really a communication blunder. What you can do instead is use the two-part apology, and this turns an apology into an opportunity to connect with someone, to positively connect. Here's what you do. The first part, you say, I'm sorry for blank. You fill in the blank with what you did wrong. Maybe it's, I'm sorry for arriving late to pick you up for the show. I know that it was inconsiderate, and now we're going to miss the first part. Okay, now you've laid out what you did wrong. Part two is critical. This is when you say, in the future, I will blank. You fill in that blank with what you'll do to prevent yourself from making the same mistake again. So it might be, in the future, I will call you 1 hour before I leave work to pick you up. This way, you'll have confidence that I'll be there on time. So now what you've done is recreated the trust, rebuilt it, so this person isn't sitting there thinking, how do I know it won't happen again? Because that's the piece that prevents an apology from being effective. When the other person is still thinking, how do I know it won't happen again?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why you want to use the two parts to satisfy the need to know how things will be different in the future.
Do you ever use the phrase in there, after you say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Does that become part of that communication blunder? Or?
I think you can say, will you forgive me, but that has to happen after you've used the two-part apology.
Okay.
Because that person may say, yes, I forgive you, but those are just words. Those are just words. They have to truly, deeply forgive you. And the only way that they'll really forgive you is if they know that you acknowledge what you've done wrong and you will do something different in the future. You know, because there's a difference from forgiving someone who's not in your life anymore. In that case, you forgive to rid yourself of hatred and anger. But it's a different story when there's a person who lives with you who you see again tomorrow, or it's a colleague you're going to work with tomorrow. To forgive that person is going to require them acknowledging what they did and also showing you why they won't do it again.
Beautiful. Lori, we're going to take a break. Stay tuned for more of Three-Dimensional Wealth and Lori Pune and her book, Instant Persuasion.
Get dialed in, 1-866-233-7861. Up to the minute business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
You're listening to The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw a headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what'd you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
Welcome back to Three-Dimensional Wealth. And three-dimensional wealth is really talking about one's personal wealth, financial wealth, and social wealth. And we can find people who are financially wealthy but personally bankrupt. And I've got Lori Pugh with me today, and she's talking about her book, Instant Persuasion, How to Change Your Words to Change Your Life, and how to improve your personal wealth. And I think that's what we're talking about, Lori.
Definitely.
And one of the things I'd like to do before we go into some more of the rules that you have that are helpful tips is just to talk about where one might be able to get your book. So I'll let you open up with that and tell us how we might be able to do that.
Well, Instant Persuasion, it is a book with many rules, but the unique thing about it is the rules are shared through real-life stories. So it's almost a reality book where we can see ourselves, see what we're saying that's wrong, the blunders, and then fix them with the communication wonders. So it's entertaining read, and I think that's what really makes it unique from other self-help books, is that you've got the entertainment and the solutions all in one. And you can purchase Instant Persuasion at any major bookstore, online, or through my website, smartcomments.com.
Smartcomments.com. Where would you find it in the bookstore?
It's placed in the psychology self-help section.
Okay.
So that's near the kinds of things like emotional intelligence and, Dale Carnegie, that kind of genre.
Okay. What about a company? How might a company use this? Because, part of the biggest problems we have within our companies and our employees is how to communicate with one another, not only communicate with our customers. How are you seeing that your book being used?
These skills are critical to success. They're critical for cooperation. And companies are actually using Instant Persuasion and purchasing the book for employees or having them attend my seminars, because when more people begin using these rules, you create a more cooperative environment in an instant. And the thing that people don't realize is that words are making a difference. Words reveal our character. Words make or break our relationships. What I teach is really common sense that's uncommonly used. And it's very unfortunate, but once people learn this, they think, oh, this is so natural.
It's intuitive, right?
It's intuitive. Of course this makes sense.
Yep.
For instance, I, always make sure when I work with companies to teach a communication principle I called complain with impact. Now, this is the idea of how to turn yourself from being a complainer to a problem solver. And we all know in the workplace that once you get labeled a complainer, nobody listens to you anymore.
Yep.
You can't get promoted, you can't get the raise because people don't want to be around you. You turn people off. And so I give the example, let's say you attend these weekly meetings and they go on and you don't think they're worth your time. And so you go to your boss and you say, these weekly meetings aren't worth my time. I've got better things to do. And in that instant, you persuade your boss to ignore you, to resent you. Why? Because you're a complainer. Mm-hmm. You're being difficult. Now, what if you make just a small change in words and instead you said to your boss, these weekly meetings go on and on. I was thinking, how about if we create an agenda with time limits on each section, pass it out in advance, and then appoint someone at the meeting to manage the time, and I volunteer to do that. Well, now you've provided a possible solution. You've turned yourself in that instant from being a problem solver, from being a complainer to being a problem solver. Problem solvers are indispensable in the office. These are the people who are sought after for a legal team, for an accounting team, for a project. Whatever it is, you want to become that problem solver. And so what I teach people are these kinds of skills that are so basic, and they make such a huge difference in how we're perceived by others.
Hey, Lori, this is internet radio, so this is going worldwide. If a company wanted to have you in and talk, I mean, do you travel? Where do you go? How would they get a hold of you? Do you have a telephone number to reach?
Sure.
Can they email you? How do they do that?
Well, I am all about instant information and instant persuasion. So the best way to reach me is through my website, smartcomments.com, smartcomments.com. And through there, you'll find information about the programs we provide through the Lori Pune Institute. These programs all revolve around persuasion, communication skills, leadership training, and we customize it for every particular group, every audience, every company, to make sure people are getting what they want out of it. But these principles apply in all aspects of our lives because everyone wants to be respected, valued, and appreciated, and I always say that that's the key to success. If you know how to speak in a way that makes other people feel valued, you will succeed because people will be drawn to you. And I see every individual as being in what I call a sphere of influence, mm-hmm. where each person stands at the center of the sphere. And the rest of the space around you is filled by all of the people you know, the people at work, people at home, your neighbors, your family, your friends. And those people are either being drawn towards you by the words you use and how you make them feel, or they're being pushed away because they don't feel good in your presence. And so the person who is a complainer is pushing people out of his sphere of influence. And the person who's a problem solver draws people into his sphere of influence because people feel good in his presence.
Terrific. Hey, there's another one in here, Lori. Find factual solutions. That's another rule number 8 you have in your book out of 35.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you a funny story that happened not too long ago. I was with my friend in a car, and we were going to a 99-cent store. Now, I don't know if you know, those are stores where everything is 99 cents or under a dollar. That's the theme. So I'm in the car going with my friend, and she says to me, Lori, this is terrific. Everything is under 99 cents. We can get anything we want. I said, oh, no, no, you have to be careful. The price is almost everything is under 99 cents. But these stores do price things higher than that, so you do have to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
No, my friend says to me. It's called 99-cent store because everything is under 99 cents, Lori. Of course it is. You don't know what you're talking about. And then I said, obviously defending myself, no, 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 that's how they draw people into the stores. That's their, you know, advertising ploy. You know, you do have to pay attention. Well, we started going back and forth, and suddenly it dawned on me. I started laughing. I said, you know what? I need to apply my own instant persuasion rule. Do you realize that in about 5 minutes we're going to be at the store and we're going to have the answer to our question? It's a fact whether or not there are items over 99 cents. And we're sitting in the car wasting our time getting into an argument over a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So what I realized in that moment was what holds true is that we oftentimes get caught up in being right and we fight to be right, when we're really talking about a fact, and it could be the name of a restaurant we went to last week with someone. It could be the date that a certain report is due. It could be the RBI of a baseball player on the Mets in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be, and yet all we need to do is realize, say, wait a minute, hey, we're arguing about a fact. let's go call the person we went to dinner with last week and ask the name of the restaurant. Or let's get on the internet and check the baseball scores. Whatever it is, when it's a fact, there's an answer. And so when we start to argue, we're wasting our time. Now, if we can learn to find factual solutions and use the communication wonder of saying, you know, this is a fact, let's go find it, instead of arguing, we'll reduce the conflict in our lives. You know, and oftentimes these little things are sort of the match that lights the flame.
Okay, Lori, now you've got us all wondering. Was it 99 cents and less, or did they have items above 99 cents?
They had items above 99 cents.
Okay. That reminds me of the title of the store, Going Out of Business. There's a place in New York. It's been going out of business for 35 years.
That's right.
But that's the name of the store out in the front.
That's, you know, I have a cute story. It's somewhat related. It's a joke, really. There were these three stores, all sold similar products, competing with each other, right next to each other. And they were always cutting prices and trying to figure out a way to draw the customer into their particular store. Well, one day, the store in the middle put up a new sign above his door. It said, Entrance. And suddenly, everybody started going to his store. Words, the power of words.
Exactly. If we have time before our break, there's one that's called Close the Deal.
Sure.
What's the word? How do you do that? Turn a blunder into a wonder?
Well, the problem with closing the deal, and a lot of times, like, we're very well-intentioned, but we'll get on the phone with somebody and try to make a sale or try to, you know, get a store to take back a product we bought, whatever it is that we want,
mm-hmm.
We'll hang up the phone and not know what's going to happen next. You get enwrapped in the conversation about, yes, I'll do it, or you won't, or convincing a person, and you hang up, and things are left hanging. And that's when we have a problem. So what you want to do is whenever you're on the phone with someone, you don't want to hang up until you know what's going to happen next. And it might be this. You may be talking to a buyer who says, yes, you know, we're interested in your product, but I need to check on it with a couple people first. That's not good enough. You don't want to hang up the phone with a comment like that. Instead, you want to say, okay, so you're going to check on this with some other people in your company. How about if I call you back on Friday to find out what happened? And then you get the person's permission, and suddenly you write it down in your date book, and you've got the plan of action. It won't be left hanging. That's closing the deal. Or if you need to talk to, you know, a doctor's office, I tell the story in my book, Instant Persuasion. You know, the doctor's office billed you for something incorrect. Well, when you call the doctor's office, they say they'll fix it. That's not good enough. You want to say, okay, so you're going to look into it and fix it today. How about if I call you again tomorrow to confirm that it was fixed? And then you get the person's name and number and get to follow up. This way you take the control back in the situation instead of leaving it in the other person's hands. That's how you close deals.
Terrific. Well, how about we take a break, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned for more of Three Dimensional Wealth, Lori Pune, and Instant Persuasion.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio, Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
West Coast Business Review, your information source for connecting you to the business world. Your host, Amy Campbell, brings to you weekly informative guests from around the globe, giving you vital information on developing and propelling your business and careers. Tune in on Business America Radio every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, where listeners call in live. Connect to West Coast Business Review at www.westcoastbusinessreview.com.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
If you're just tuning in with me, this is Roy Diefendorf, and I have Lori Pune with me, author of Instant Persuasion. And as I was chatting on the break, we were talking about actually the importance of what this does, using your words to change your life and, in fact, improving your personal wealth. And I think those are the things, Lori, from your book that intrigued me when I first heard you speak, to say, you know what, listeners need to hear this. Not only read it, but hear it and somehow use it to improve your personal wealth, which, in fact, I think will help to improve your financial wealth. And hopefully, if we're doing our job as three-dimensional wealth practitioners, help to improve social wealth. Lori, there's just a few minutes left, and so what I want you to do is just talk about a couple more of these rules or principles. And one I think that is great, no one likes criticism, but you have a phrase that says, appreciate criticism.
That's right.
Well, that's not a nice thing, but how does that work?
Well, appreciating criticism will disarm somebody. And you got to know when to use this rule. Okay, we've all been in a situation where somebody is giving us criticism that's totally uncalled for. Now, it could be because it's none of the person's business, right? It could be the person doesn't know us, they don't know what they're talking about, they don't have the information, whatever it is. In those situations, what's really going on is that person is trying to light your fire. I mean, they're trying to get you. And they feel satisfied when they get you. But unfortunately, you don't feel satisfied. You become engaged in an argument. You become frustrated and stressed out, and you're wasting your energy. Because in those moments, you're not going to persuade that person of anything. So what you want to do instead is respond with a surprise comment. You want to appreciate the criticism and say, thank you for your opinion. I'll definitely think about it. Now, that doesn't mean you're agreeing with the person, but what it's doing is saying, I heard you. That actually lessens the fire. It puts water on the fire when they feel, this other person suddenly feels heard. So you say, thank you for your opinion. I'll definitely think about it, and it calms them down. In fact, I used this rule myself just the other night. When I was at dinner with someone, and it was a friend of a friend, who thought that he needed to tell me a lot about what I should do with my next book. Now that I'm in front of people a lot, people seem to feel free to give me all of their comments. And so this rule has been very helpful to me. So he's going on and on about how I should write my next book and why, and I'm starting to disagree with him, and I realized, I'm like, I'm in an instant persuasion moment. And I turn to him and I say, thank you for your opinion. I'll definitely think about it. And it stops.
Mm-hmm.
It stops him cold because he feels heard. He's no longer engaged in the back and forth argument. And then I'm able to change the topic.
And in fact, he may have something that's of value. So
right.
If you are thinking about it, that may be important.
Sure. Well, you certainly do want to consider people's criticism. There are also just those times where, I mean, you're sitting at dinner with people, and you just do not want to get into a disagreement like that. You know, right time and right place. But that's how you can manage and use your words to get the outcome you want. In that situation, I wanted an outcome of ending the discussion, but it was also win-win. It wasn't hurting him. It was benefiting him because I made him feel, instead of disagreeing, I made him feel that he was being heard. And in fact, I was able to think about his comments afterward because I was no longer angry.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a win-win. And then there's, and that's how to appreciate criticism. And I share some very interesting stories in Instant Persuasion relating to that.
Okay.
But there's another rule we had discussed. If we have time, I can
go ahead
into it. Okay. This rule is called pay with words, and I'll share a very insightful story of something.
Rule 35.
Rule 35. I was working at a law firm, and I was talking to one of my colleagues there, and we were talking about our weekends, and he was superior to me, and so we were still a professional relationship, and I asked him, how was your weekend? He said, my weekend was great. We had a barbecue in my backyard. My family was over. It was terrific. I'm like, that's wonderful. He's like, it was so good because actually, finally, my backyard was clean. It was perfect. The gardeners had come the day before. They had raked all the leaves away. It was just beautiful. And I said, why is it such a surprise that your backyard would be clean? He said, every other year, I have had to complain and fire the gardeners. They would break all the sprinkler heads and throw the leaves in the bushes. It's been horrible. I'd fire them. I think I've had five in the last 6 years. Finally, they were good. So I turned to my colleague and I said, what did you say to them? He said, what do you mean? I said, every other year you complained and you fired them when they did a bad job. This year, your gardeners did a good job. Did you tell them? He said, why should I tell them? That's what I pay them to do. They're supposed to do it right. And I thought, this is why he doesn't give many compliments at work. This is what's going on. He believes that the money is enough to satisfy and motivate someone. Unfortunately, or fortunately actually for human beings, we're better than that, and that's not enough. Money is necessary, but not sufficient. And so he was losing people's interest in working with him, actually, and it was noticeable in the office. And it really came down to the fact that he did not let people know when they did things well. And so I look at that situation as, obviously, when we are in management positions, we want to pay people with words. They're free. They're priceless to others. You know, it's such an easy thing to do is to pay attention to those good things. On the other hand, it's also something we can ask other people for. And I got into the habit of when I would work with people who weren't free with the compliments or the paying with words, I would tell them, I'm like, listen, you know, I appreciate your comments. I respect your opinion. And it would be very helpful to me if you would tell me when I did do something well so that I was aware of it and made sure to continue doing it. And that would oftentimes open the door to the kinds of motivational comments that really did push me to work harder and make sure that I continue doing things well. So we can, once you know what the communication blunder is, you can really manage it from both ends.
Seems so simple, Lori, doesn't it?
You know what? I have focused on this so much so, and I really believe that you don't have to be richer or smarter or luckier to get what you want. You just need to be persuasive. You need those skills, those interpersonal skills. When you have people on your side, anything is possible.
And you're teaching this not only through your book, Instant Persuasion, but you're teaching it through seminars, or you're teaching it through, corporate training?
Mm-hmm. Professional and personal development seminars and programs designed specifically for, companies or helping them on the communication issues related to a specific problem or change in the culture that they want to affect. Because it really comes down to how we talk to each other. And, we often hear that in a company, people are the untapped resource,
Sure.
I say, actually, within every individual, your power of persuasion is your untapped resource. If you've gone through life and not thought about how to make these small changes to become more persuasive, you're losing out because you've already got the ability. If you can talk, you can be persuasive in a positive way that creates win-win situations. It's a simple thing to do. The hardest part is recognizing this power that you already have.
Lori, I'm going to give you an opportunity one more time. Someone is listening in says, you know what, I need to get a hold of Lori. How do we go about doing that?
You can visit my website, smartcomments.com. Through there, you can email me. You can also call my office at 516-773-0303. And you can purchase Instant Persuasion at any bookstore or online.
Terrific. I'm not sure exactly how much time we have, but I'm going to give you an opportunity just sort of give us a wrap-up, Lori. a summary, a final statement, and we'll see how we're doing on time.
Sure. Well, you know, I really want to almost use my personal sort of company and success as an example, just to let people know that you don't have to start off with things. You know, you don't have to start off with the connections. You don't have to start off with the finances. It's really about believing in yourself, having the motivation, and knowing what you don't know. Because that's been a major asset for me, is to be aware of the things I don't know. And that's why being persuasive and bringing people on my team has been so fantastic, because I'm able to incorporate all of the knowledge that everybody else has. And people want to see me succeed, and so they're willing to help me and lend me information and support. You know, even the television show that Father Tom was able to put me on was incredible. I mean, these are the kinds of things that come to you in life when you live a life of speaking in a way that makes people feel valued, respected, and appreciated. We can make these changes today in our words and see the results the same day. It is so easy with instant persuasion.
Lori, you're the poster child for this this book. You've done a great job.
I better be the poster child or I shouldn't be selling the book, right?
All right. Well, I want to thank you for spending the hour sharing with our listeners, and I really enjoyed. Best of luck to you on your book and your endeavors. I want to thank you for listening in to Three Dimensional Wealth. We'll be back same time next week. And enjoy it, and we'll see you then. This is Roe Diefendorf, Three Dimensional Wealth.
Business America Radio thanks you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. The bottom line in business talk.